from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
Yes.
Love that piano. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in. This show is all about songwriting and musicians and performers around the country just trying to find their way here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't have any answers. We don't know anything. We're just listening to my music, to our music.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the way to the end.
All the way to the end. No, we don't know anything, guys. We're out there slinging songs during the day, just like you. But what we are able to do is find fun, brilliant, talented people, bring them into the studio, pick their brains, and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation
that
as well.
That is so true. And you can help us do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Chime in with your questions and comments there. Or you can also hit us up on Twitter at TheMusicRowShow starting right now.
Yes, I just went on it too.
Good for you.
I know. Look at that. Me
look
and my
you.
Computer. Hey, in case you haven't heard.
What, Scott? What?
Dish Network has just picked up Blue Highways TV,
yes.
Which means you can watch us all the time on Dish, four times a week, right?
That's right. Yeah, you can watch us four times a week on Channel 73 here in the U.S. and for the first time ever here in Nashville, which is kind of awesome.
Very, very exciting. And we got a show tonight. We are all about Down Under tonight.
Yes.
All about it. We have our pals from Sounds America, the legendary Dobe Newton here with Warren H. Williams and Tracy McNeil and other exciting surprise guests.
Yes.
Yes.
And then in the second hour, we're going to be talking with our friend, hit Australian recording artist and songwriter Diana Corcoran. In hour two, that's going to be coming up.
That's right. Well, let's get to this, Hino. Do the honors, please.
Absolutely. Now, as Scott just mentioned, we've got another awesome Aussie night here as we welcome back famed Australian recording artist and founder of the Bushwhackers, Dobe Newton. And he's
famed.
Famed. That's right.
Ooh.
He's the president of CMA Australia and one of the directors of the Sounds Australia Festival. And he's brought along a whole gaggle of musicians here with him tonight. Some award-winning recording artists. Warren H. Williams is going to be joining us. Tracy McNeil, and as Scott mentioned, a surprise guest. And they're all going to play some tunes for us. And we're just thrilled to be able to say, Dobe Newton, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
All right. Yeah. Listen to that ovation. Huh?
That's fantastic. I hardly recognize myself.
That was a lot of accomplishments.
It was,
yeah. And you've cured toenail fungus.
Yes.
And some other things.
But only in Australia.
Only in Australia.
Oh, come on.
I saw him with his shoes off earlier. He's not been
so,
here.
But look, it's lovely to be back, and thank you so much for giving us the chance again.
Sure.
To showcase Australian artists.
No, we're very excited. Now, talk about the relationship with Sounds Australia. You're not here just to come see us. You guys are having several showcases this week as part of the Americana Fest. So
yes.
Talk about that relationship between Sounds Australia and the Americana Festival, and what are the threads that connect the two musically?
All right. So very briefly.
We got an hour. Take your time.
Yeah. Talk slow.
The June CMA thing is the top-end razzmatazz Nashville country thing. So,
sure.
So I was here 7 or 8 years ago and went to the Americana Festival.
Okay.
And thought, wow, this is where Australian artists and songwriters should be pitching themselves, because there are 1,200 to 1,500 industry delegates who are very serious about their music, and they come from all sections of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And in the intervening years, of course, Americana has become amazingly cool worldwide.
It's a thing now.
And it is, absolutely. Yeah. But and so I went back to Australia and talked to Sounds Australia. Now, Sounds Australia is a federally funded government body. And their brief is to provide funding to promote and market Australian artists. So they don't pay the artists. They actually liaise with the events.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made contact with the Americana Music Association, which just happened, of course, to have a marvelous expat called Mark Moffat, who was on the board and eventually became the president, which is a pretty amazing thing for an Australian to do. and they were very keen to create a relationship with Australia. And so for the last 6 years, we started with five Australian artists 5 years ago, and now it's 35.
Wow. Oh,
and there's no room for any more. So if you're listening out there in Australia, please don't bother. But we're... Well, no. I mean, it's a headache. That's wonderful to have. It's like having five quarterbacks, and who do you choose, you know?
Right.
I was just going to say
Ask Ohio State.
That was good, wasn't it? Local reference.
That was very good. Yeah, that was very good. Right. Look at you.
Wow. Yes. Well, that's interesting. Well, you've played and now been at festivals all over the world. You mentioned here and, of course, yes, Australia. How are audiences different at the different places you go? How do they watch or participate differently?
Americans actually live their lives out loud.
Oh.
On whether they're on the mobile phone or on the bus or wherever it is, they just live their lives out loud, which in terms of gigs translates into an audience who actually is spontaneous, and when they're delighted, they let you know, and when they're not, well, we don't want to know when they're not. In fact, we've never done a gig where they've been not.
Right, of course
but,
not.
But for Australians, it's quite amazing, because quite often we will play a gig in Australia and they will be relatively subdued. And at the end of the night, they'll come up and tell you, oh, that was the best gig I've ever seen. And you go, what a pity you didn't let me know while we were doing it. But the audiences here are just spontaneous. And
okay,
so if they like what they're seeing, they yell out. They do it. And for performers, that's a fantastic thing.
Well, you feed off of that, you know, when you're up there.
Yeah, yeah.
So then do you ever, or have you ever felt down about a gig playing in Australia thinking you weren't doing very well because of that, or are you used to it?
I actually can't remember, Haino, because my band's going to be 45 years old this year. And the worst gigs, I'm sure there were some, but they last about a millisecond in the hard drive.
Right.
They're gone.
Yeah.
So if I've done a really good gig, I remember that
forever. Sure. Forever.
Well, why would you bother? Why would you bother?
Yeah. You don't make scrapbooks out of the bad ones. Yeah.
But I hasten to add, there aren't many of them.
No, of course not.
Well, I don't think so.
Are there, getting back to the Americana Festival, are there some threads musically that also make this such a good fit together, as far as the Australian music and maybe some of the traditional and new music come out of Australia, and how that fits in with the Americana genre?
Well, absolutely, because if you go to the Americana Music Association site and read the definition of Americana, then it's
roots.
It's roots, basically, and a lot of those roots we actually share. Australian country music basically resulted from listening to hillbilly music from here, which was on Australian radio in the 20s and 30s of the last century. Makes us all feel a bit old. But that's where our great pioneering Tex Morton and Slim Dusty, who are legends of Australian country music, that's where they heard their music from.
Okay.
So we share that in terms of a musical heritage. And then there's unique elements in Australia, but well, not unique because we share them with you, but we've got the Scots and the Irish, which here translated into the bluegrass. There went into the bush ballads and things. So we have so much in common, and it's roots in common.
Okay.
So the flashy stuff, and we've got a Keith Urban, of course, who is, you know, enormously famous and stuff. Now, that branch of country music has no real basis in Australia.
Interesting.
It's very much the product of, you know, imported and derivative of the United States. So there's nothing, if you listen to Keith Urban, you don't hear anything that's Australian.
Right.
But there are so many artists in Australia where they actually draw their stories from the land and from their culture, and they translate them in a way that is appreciated here, because the musical stylings are very similar.
Okay.
Well, there are, I would imagine, some sub-genres of Australian country as well. I mean, there's different flavors of country over there. What would some of those be, and what are they?
We're not big enough to have subcultures, I know.
I don't mean subculture. I just mean, like, you know, there's the Aboriginal type country music.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's
well, and,
lots
and
of different flavors of Australian folk music or country music.
Well, and you're going to be hearing,
I know,
Warren very shortly.
Right.
But there's been, for the last 50, 60 years, and increasingly exposed to the rest of Australia, a brand of Indigenous music, and which crosses all the genres from rock and roll through to country.
Okay.
And some astonishing artists. The sad part about it is, like here, because it's such a huge country, so few of those landmark artists have actually made it into the major population areas, because, I mean, Australia is basically gathered in half a dozen cities,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of it involves huge journeys. So unless you've got funding, etc., behind you, it's very hard for you to make it to major audiences.
It's hard to tour in the South.
But technology has done an amazing job in actually exposing some of those amazing artists across the land. But we have a very strong bluegrass culture.
Okay.
Which probably is 20 to 25 years old, and mm-hmm. and that was always there in terms of the Scots and the Irish influence, but they basically went into what we call a bush ballad style, which would be a sort of a traditional country style here, mm-hmm. I suppose. But then out of that, some very young players, and of course influenced by the Newgrass revival here, mm-hmm. basically discovered that their music had come from those same roots, and here they were. So that's happening as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what was called an alternative country, but basically it's Americana. So we've got young people who are doing the rock thing,
mm-hmm.
basically, but with in that styling. So yes, we have the genres, but we're only little, mate.
Well, how does the organization decide who gets to come and to take part in this festival, and are those different than the people that go to South by Southwest, and what's the selection process?
At the moment, there is no selection process. I mean, look.
Hey, congratulations, you all.
Wow, how did you do it?
No, you bring up a very salient point. It's very, very difficult, because when there were half a dozen people who wanted to come and there were three gigs, you go, oh, how cool
Perfect.
Is that?
Yeah.
You do that one, you do that one. And now that it's 35, it's very hard. But the bottom line is that is it my job, and I don't think it is it my job to actually sit in judgment on people and go, you can't go, you can.
Mm-hmm.
If people have got the will and the determination, and it's cost them, as you can imagine, a great deal of money to get here, if they've done all that, far be it from me to actually turn around, or anybody from Sounds Australia, to turn around and go, sorry, you're not good enough.
Okay.
I mean, that's not my job, and it's not anybody's job other than the folks out there who will actually see them play, and they will make the decision, as they always do. So until it gets unmanageable, which I have to say is pretty close. but until it gets to that stage, then we're not about to play, you know, God.
Right. Gotcha.
I only said that because it was Sunday, and I know.
We're in the South, so that's good.
We're in the South. It's important.
All right, well, I guess we need to take a quick break, but let you know that our sponsor of this segment is Toyota of Cool Springs.
Yes, it is. We both have Toyotas, Hino and I, and have been getting our cars serviced from these guys for an awful long time, and they're really great. I mean, I'll tell you what I like about them. My wife likes to go in there because they're nice to her and they don't talk down to her or try to, you know.
My wife had the same experience.
Sometimes when I'm out of town, I'll have to get my oil changed somewhere else.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, you need this, 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 and this, and this, and we can do that all for you for $800. But, you know, the guys at Toyota Cool Springs are not like that.
No, they shoot straight. They're a great place to go. Ask for George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. You can find him online at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back with more of the Sounds Australia folks here on the Music Row Show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with a whole bunch of great artists from Australia, and that's one of them. That's Tracy McNeil doing a song called Wildcats. That's a great tune.
It's a great song.
I was jamming to that one earlier today, but right now we're being joined by a couple of other great folks, aren't we, Scott?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We have Warren H. Williams and
Tracy McNeil.
No, that's
Denny
Tracy
Young.
McNeil. Denny Young.
Denny Young. Sorry about that.
Denny, you surprised us. We didn't know you were coming, but we're happy you're here. Absolutely. So Warren is an Aborigine country singer who you have been you've been a fixture in the Australian music scene for years as a performer and as a songwriter. What is it about country music that spoke to you early on? And I mean, when I hear you sing, I hear Charlie Pride, I hear Vern Gosden, I hear Millsap. I mean, who were you listening to?
Well, Ronnie Millsap is one of the influence in my singing. Well, Charlie Pride too, because and Vern Gosden, all of them are big influence in my singing career.
Okay.
But Ronnie Millsap is probably the one that really changed my mind in doing country music.
How so? I mean, what happened there?
I remember I went to a military school. Mm-hmm. And, I was in my bunk one night listening to the radio. And at that time, I was actually playing, I used to play heavy metal.
Okay.
So I was listening to the radio, and the song, Ronnie Millsap's "Stand by Your Woman, Man, Come On."
Uh huh.
And after that song, I went, "Yeah, that's what I want to do."
Really?
Yeah.
Change that. Ronnie Millsap cured you of heavy metal.
Yeah. Well,
with
yeah.
one song.
Yeah, with one song.
That's
one
crazy.
Song, yeah, and it changed my life forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you recorded one of your albums, and I hope I don't butcher this. Is it Wininjara?
Wininjara. It's all in...
In Warramunga?
Yeah, it's my grandmother's language.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, what made you decide to do that, and how commonly used is that language today?
The idea came up because Warramunga is one of the languages that are disappearing really fast.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted to record some of the languages, and it was about 2 months, but... I went in there and because I actually used to, I mean, I knew Warramunga when I was young, but I have forgotten it. So I had to go back and relearn the language.
Oh, wow.
And all my aunties, the Warramungas and my uncles, they all came and sort of like for 2 weeks. And just going in process of getting back into.
They coached you?
Yeah, learning.
Kind of an immersion, right?
Yeah. And the thing about it was they was treating me like a little kid.
I mean, yeah, they were. You're saying
my
that wrong.
My uncles, you know, they
right.
And they got the right to do that. So, but it was so good. I even learned more about myself just going back to doing that. You know, like because it's my grandmother's language.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, were the songs that you recorded, were they songs that you'd recorded before in English and then translated, or were they brand new songs?
I actually just did them in language. I just was in the studio and just wrote them songs while I was in the studio.
Okay. So they were specific to that.
Just done that, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it didn't take long. Gave us a week and we finished it in a week. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, introduce us to the young lady here.
Danny Young, and she's... Well, we sort of met only about a year ago, and I've been only singing for about 6 months, actually, doing duets.
Really?
And we have actually written an album and came all the way to Nashville to record an album. So, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. So you guys are recording it here?
We've already done it, yeah.
Okay.
I heard you guys are mixing tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah.
Listening to the mixes, or what are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going back in to listen to the first mixes of
everything
we've recorded and possibly adding in some backing vocals and some different parts.
And Larry Beard's?
That's a great studio.
Yeah. And our producer is Billy Yates.
Billy! Yeah, good friend of ours.
Billy,
yeah.
Okay. He owes me
$20. Yeah.
When you see him. No, he doesn't owe me $20.
I would question that choice. I don't know if Billy Yates.
Billy Yates is fantastic.
Yeah, Billy and I became friends on Facebook. It was just, I befriended him. And from then on, we just talked and it was meant awesome. To be.
So then when did you guys actually come into town and start recording?
We've been here for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I think we had one day to get over the jet lag and then straight into the studio.
Right in.
And knocked it all out in 2 days. And we've just been seeing the sights and enjoying ourselves.
Waiting for that mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how different, because I know here in Nashville, you're right, it only takes a couple days to get an entire album done because the musicians are just so on top of everything. How different is that from maybe the recording process that you've done in the past?
Well, back home, it takes a long time to record an album. But like coming here, it was just, because we had sent them over a rough,
just like really rough demo.
Like guitar vocals, tape. Yeah.
I mean, we live in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the outback Australia.
Right.
And our only option really was to both just head into the local radio station, huddle around a microphone and just play these songs live. And they're really rough, but the band just heard them and went, I know exactly what you're thinking. And
one
just,
take.
Isn't that crazy?
And boom. And were they right?
Oh, they were right.
Yeah. It's like they're telepathic. Yeah, I don't know.
It is so good. Like, you're thinking like when he's counting it, one, two.
And it's, there it is. There it exactly is. What you hear in your head.
Wow. Well, we'd love to hear you guys play some right now. Okay, you feel like doing a tune for us?
This is a new song. Nothing Left to Burn. This is called Nothing Left to Burn.
All right.
That's a different song.
Which one have you seen?
Nothing Left to Burn, remember?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
He's thinking of a different song.
This love, it don't feel like it used to. This heart don't beat the way it did before. Your eyes, they don't shine like they used to. Your arms, they don't hold me anymore. Ago.
But do we try to start again, or do we let it go?
I tried so hard to build another fire, but darling, we've got nothing left to burn. Fell out of love many years ago.
But do we try to start again? Or do we let it go?
I tried so hard to build another fire, but darling, we've got nothing left to burn. I tried so hard to build another fire, but darling, we've got nothing left to burn. But darling, we've got nothing left to burn.
Right.
Yeah. Very nice.
So, Warren, you're also a radio jock up in the Northern Territory.
Yeah.
How have you seen country music listenership grow and evolve in Australia? Is there a hunger for more of the traditional, or do they lean towards maybe the newer pop sound?
Probably where I come from, there's more for the strictly country sound. That's what they call it. I get Strictly Country. And
well, that's odd, since isn't your radio show called Strictly Country?
Yeah, but that's what we call it, Strictly.
Okay, gotcha.
A lot of people said, nah, my music is Strictly Country. It's Strictly Country. So it has become the name of the show. And the old country music is still alive, you know, like Back at Home, like Alan Jackson and all that. It's still big. Like a lot of the Aboriginal kids, you know, they're into the rap and all the mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff, but they still listen to country music, which is good. Like it's a lot of people back home listen to everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do the radio stations reflect that? Are they playing everything on the station?
We play everything, like,
oh, well, how wonderful is that?
Because I like when I do my shows, it's Monday to Thursday. Monday nights is blues and rock, and Tuesday is Strictly Country. Wednesday night everything go, and Thursday night is Strictly Country again. So
when's your heavy metal show?
Yeah, it's on Monday nights.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of the folks from Sounds Australia here on the Music Row Show. Come on back. Oh, yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That right there is Tracy McNeil doing Sleep in Your Eye, one of the great Australian recording artists who's joining us tonight. And in fact, she's here right now.
Yay.
Right now.
How about that?
Yay, Tracy McNeil.
Thanks for having me.
Tracy, before we start talking to you, you know what we need to do? Because we shipped out before we could do some plugging. Warren, you can find Warren on Facebook. Warren H. Williams, is that correct?
Facebook.com/Warren H. Williams.
That's right. And Danny, how about you?
We've got a joint page together, so if you look up Warren H. Williams and Danny Young, you'll find us and you'll see all our Nashville adventures.
I'm going to look that up here in just a minute, as a matter of fact. But yeah, we're here with Tracy McNeil, and Tracy is an Australian artist who's actually Canadian.
I know.
It's wild.
So,
but it was cool because she knew what the Larrivée guitars were.
Yes, she did.
So that was kind of nice. Tracy, you were kind of doomed at birth, weren't you? I mean, your both parents were and still are musicians. Is that a true statement?
That is a true statement. Yes, it's my dad was in a band in the 70s, and that's how he made his living, touring the States, touring Canada.
Selling one 45 record.
45 record, and it's kind of an emotional story because he actually passed away this summer.
Oh,
I'm playing one of his guitars today on the station, so it's really meaningful.
Oh, wonderful.
For me, and he's just finished the latest album, and we just got that finished. It's going to be sent off to get manufactured. And it was all just finished off right just before he passed.
Wow.
So, yeah, as kind of like a touring covers band with a few originals in the 70s, they did really well, modeled themselves after the Eagles, that West Coast California sound that's kind of inspired my sound, I guess, as of late. So he's written 14 original tracks at this later point in his life, and he finally finished it.
Oh, wow.
So it's a blessing, and it's a bit sad, but it's beautiful, too. So I'm really proud I've done the artwork for it, and just can't wait to kind of get it out there for him in his honor. So
what a great story. Yeah.
And my mom was a musician as well. She was in the first incarnation of Fargo, his band.
Right.
And then decided, I'm going to raise the kids. You go do your thing. And so she raised the kids and came back to music. At about 49, 50 years old, put a band together and has released about 4 records. So
good for her.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
So. Well, how about you? How did you make the long trip from Canada all the way to Australia? I mean, that's not exactly next door.
It's not next door. I heard it was a good place to go. And I did a record, my very first album called Room Where She Lives, and I did that in Toronto. And I released it, put it in my suitcase 3 days, like launched it, and 3 days later, packed my bags and went to Australia.
Okay.
And I went for like a 10-month postgraduate diploma course. Was only supposed to come for 10 months. Thought I'll try and put a band together, play some music, do some schooling, and then head back. And I just never left. I put a band together. I met a songwriter, Jordy Lane. We made a record together. I started putting my own solo stuff together and started working on a new album. And I just never left. So 10 months turned into 8.5 years. And I've met my gorgeous husband who's to the left of me, Luke Sinclair, of Raised by Eagles. And that's another wonderful reason why I never left the country. So, yeah, it's been a long, about 8.5 years now, yeah.
Sweet.
It's a long journey. Wild. It's crazy. 10 months and then you never leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to back up just for a second if I can, because I'm curious with parents that were both musicians, did you get any business advice from them at any time? Or do you ever hear them in your voice, in your musical style?
I hear them. I hear my dad. I hear both of them, actually. Mom's a pragmatist. She was always about get a day job and have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was like, just follow your dreams and give it all you got. Mm. And so I've got both of those running through me consistently in all the choices I make and the way I live my life. And both Luke and I do actually work very hard jobs and do a lot of music.
Are you a teacher?
I am.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a challenge, but somehow we get sick a lot because we're just so busy and we call in sick a lot and have to tell a lot of lies.
Yeah.
But we somehow make it at this stage. We make it work so far, but something's got to give, and we know which one we'd like to get rid of. But yeah, so far it allows us to make records as well as independent artists, not on a label.
Yeah,
it gives us the funding to actually produce our own records. And yeah,
well, sweet. Well, we'd love to hear you play something. You feel like doing
sure. I'm really happy to have Luke here today because the rest of the bands, I think they arrive on Tuesday, so it's gonna be nice.
The Good Life.
Yeah,
the band life. Right,
so I guess I'll do this in brand new song, so it's unreleased, and you've been playing some tracks off my latest album. This one will be on the next album. It's called Middle of the Night.
I was born in the middle of the night, awakened by the old street light. Taken in the dark air, dreaming of a place where somebody would get it right. You were looking for a place to land. You said you lent a helping hand. We'd ride across the night sky, diamonds in each other's eyes, thinking we were out of sight. Such a long time that I'd been waiting for you. Never any need to run. The day had always just begun. Wondering why the others had warned us we would end up fading like a setting sun. You were talking like a rich man does. You take it all just because. Nothing's gonna fall away in little things you never pay for in this life anyway. Such a long time that I'd been waiting for you. such a short time, lovers become fools. So we burn those wings right through, till there was nothing else we'd ever want to do. The moment when the water breaks and the roaring waves come, you hear it when the silence caves and you lose your way and go under. Day that you called me dear, trying to disguise through beautiful lies a place where your heart would disappear. And days began to feel so long, like a never-ending song. Found a new place to lay and took back your hand and faded like a setting sun. Such a long time that I'd been waiting for you. Such a short time, lovers become fools. And so we burn those wheels right through, till there was nothing else we'd ever want to do. Yeah, we burn those wheels right through, till there was nothing else we'd ever. Born in the middle of the night, awakened by the old street light, taken in the dark air, dreaming of a place where somebody would get it right. Taken in the dark air, dreaming of a place where somebody would get it right.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. That's fantastic. Tracy McNeil, what's your website?
TracyMcNeil.com.
And it's MCNEIL.
That's right.
There you go.
Wow.
We're going to be back with more of the Sounds Australia, folks. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's a great tune called A Little More Like Love. Tracy McNeil, who just joined us back again, and also Warren
H. Williams. They're both here with us. And I wanted to ask, we just got a few minutes here, but Tracy, you and I are both car writers. We both write songs in the car. And how does writing without a guitar in your hand help you or hinder you melodically?
Yeah, that's funny. I got a lot of car accidents last year making that.
Did
album.
You really?
Yeah.
Really? Well,
really.
Are you a car drummer as well, or how? What's going
segue.
On?
No, I just singing into the phone, driving, you mm-hmm. know, in the car. And I think melodically it's good because I don't. Well, it's funny. I come up with different melodies than I would if I had the guitar and my, you know, six or seven chords that I keep rotating around.
You know that many?
It's a lot. Isn't it?
After the show, you're gonna have to show me the other two.
Yeah. Well, look, it's funny. I think I got maybe poppier hooks, if I could say that, just without the guitar. I could just, it was a little bit more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I really go back, the chords weren't that different. The progressions weren't that different, but I think the melodies were.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That explains that one tune off your new album. It was like, I love you, like, ah! Trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song. How about you, Warren? How do you, when you go to write a song, how do you approach it?
Well, music. Because I've been always a guitar player, and mm-hmm. Music comes before anything else. So I'm rubbish at writing words. So I got a duet songwriter, which it makes a lot of sense. She can write all the words. I just write the music.
So you're bringing in the melodies and she's doing the lyrics. Yeah. How natural is the blending of country with the indigenous music? Are there any structural commonalities?
Well, the indigenous people have always worked on cattle stations or ranches, and we have cattle for a long time. And when the music came out of back in the 50s and 60s, singing about looking after the cattle, and it's the Aboriginal people.
They understood that.
They took it off straight. They took country music straight away. And it's always been country music. Always been the first music for me. I grew up listening to country music. So
wow,
yeah, and country music is a part of now. It's part of our life, really. Yeah,
all wonderful. Right. Well, before we run out of time, let's get your web addresses again so people can find you.
Well, mine, the Facebook would be the best one.
Okay,
Warren H. Williams and Danny Young.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And how about?
And Facebook would be Tracy McNeil Band, and my website would be TracyMcNeil.com.
And then Sweet. Sounds Australia and the Bushwhackers.com.
That's right.
Because sooner or later, we're bringing bush dancing back.
Dancing?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
I don't even want to picture that, Scott.
What?
Yeah.
It needs to come back to the Australian community.
No, I meant you doing that. I just, Diana, yeah, that's fine. She can do that. But you, no, not so much.
Okay, it has been great having you guys with us.
Thank you so much.
Good gravy.
Great to be here.
We're professionals, can you
tell? Yeah. We've got a whole other great hour of the show coming up. We've got wonderful award-winning songwriter and recording artist Diana Corcoran is going to be joining us in just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show, so you're definitely going to want to come back for that.
Stick around.